I think we have a sufficient quorum and representation to get started with the Safety and Security Committee. First business is the approval of the agenda. Are there any comments, questions, or changes to this afternoon's agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward on that. And if we could have a motion with respect to the minutes of the March 8th committee.
Mr. Downey?
Yes.
I'm happy to move approval with one correction. My name is misspelled.
Oh, yes.
So if you would correct that, I'd be pleased. But I'd move approval.
We'll do our best. Right. For a second? And all in favor of approval in the minutes as corrected?
Aye.
Thank you. And I will turn to Mr. Doherty for our safety contact.
Good afternoon, Chairman Downey, members of the board. Safety contact today is on distracted driving, not so much about phones, though. However, I'll mention that. Studies by the National Highway Safety Administration and Virginia Tech Transportation Institute have found that 80% of crashes and 65% of near crashes occur because a driver was distracted within 3 seconds before the crash. We know that talking on cell phones and texting is distracting. Now let's look at some of the many other forms of distraction that we may be guilty of. Eating. How often do we grab a fast food bite because we're in a hurry? Conversation with others in the car that create a distraction, especially if emotional. Turning or looking at or adjusting instruments. This could mean moving the rearview mirrors, dialing the radio, or the such. Personal grooming. Something loose in the car, such as a pet. Curiosity. You may want to read a billboard or enjoy a scenic view. Reading. This may sound so obvious, it's ridiculous, but haven't you seen drivers looking at maps or actually reading a newspaper, driving at 65 miles an hour? Casualness. The drive has become so easy that you open the window and put your arm out and lounge. And smoking, such as lighting a cigarette. Highway officials say, expect the unexpected. Watch out for other drivers who may be distracted. They specifically cite three types of distractions. Visual, which means eyes off the road. Cognitive, mind off the road. And manual, hands off the steering wheel. That concludes the safety contact.
Thank you, and thank you from Secretary LaHood. We have one action item today, and that is a proposal that we reaffirm the system safety policy. This system safety policy becomes the frontispiece of the system safety plan that goes for federal approval. A new plan is being put together, and with the number of changes that have occurred on the board since the last time it was adopted, I felt it would be useful to reaffirm it. It has been modified simply to state that the committee is no longer a committee of the whole, but is one that's governed by the bylaws. Other than that, there's no substantive change. Just wanted everybody to be aware that you are the ones who set the safety policy for the agency.
Move approval of the new policy.
So, moved and seconded. Are any comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The balance of the meeting will be the annual report on safety that safety program and safety policy calls for, that at least once a year we step back and say, how are we doing? What have we accomplished across the board? You have a presentation that was sent out in advance. We'll go through the highlights of that and then see if there are questions about any of the safety issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Downey. In our continuing efforts to present the Safety and Security Committee the state of safety within WMATA, I'm pleased to present, in addition to the 2012 year-to-date statistics, our annual safety report for calendar year 2011, which contains not only the two key performance indicators that we work on in the Safety Committee, as well as other committees, employee and customer injuries, for the calendar year 2011, but a more detailed accident and injury data, which you will find in the appendix. Of the two KPIs reported to the board on safety, as well as to the public through our website, there's been an effort by all, and this is certainly a collective effort by everyone from the board, all the employees at Metro, to actually reduce the customer injury rate, which you see is down 10.5% for calendar year 2011, and our employee injury rate is down 11.4% closing out the year. And this certainly has been and is a purposeful and proactive effort, you know, by all within Metro, as I've mentioned, to understand the hazards and resolve them at every level of the organization. I believe the two KPIs provide some of the positive strides that we've made in the past year. Some of the 2011 key accomplishments are listed here. One that we've talked about previously was the closing out of all the recommendations by the Federal Transit Administration in their March 2010 report. All of the recommendations have been addressed, and the FTA has acknowledged their closure. We've submitted 16 of the 27 NTSB recommendations, and actually expect to have probably another two or three by the end of June to submit to the NTSB also. Of the open investigations over the, well, since 2006, 105 of the 108 have been completed. The only three remaining are those that we await from the National Transportation Safety Board themselves, because they handled that investigation. And as you can see, our Category 1 hazards, and we'll mention a little later, there's only two remaining. So we have been... I'm sorry, sir? Of the... Well, actually, at one point in time, it was up to 30. So that you can see by following the hazard resolution process, we are moving and actually addressing the more serious of the hazards. Continuing on our accomplishments... Yes, sir. The resolution will be actually addressing the issue to the, you know, typically it's to the satisfaction of the caller. Just whenever we get a call, whether it's an unsafe condition, one was, you know, they felt a call came in about fencing that was added by our plant department on the top of the building where employees actually have to go out and work, anything from tiles that are missing, things along that line. So it typically is, it's a... an item that in some cases maintenance, others is a complaint that we also
look at. We actually go back to the person who made the observation and satisfy them.
We ask them if they want us to come back. If they do not want us to come back, or they have that opportunity to remain anonymous, then we can't go back to them. So in those cases, we have to.
And what volume of safety hotline calls are we getting?
On an average of about 30 a month. And but they've been going down now as they're getting addressed. I think in the agency has been growing. Our hotline calls have definitely been on a decline to, I believe, the last month we had 11. So there's not the volume that we seen originally whenever we kicked it off a year ago, September.
While we're on the page, how are we doing about NTSB approval of our submissions?
I can tell you that I've followed up with the NTSB, and the NTSB, and as late as last Friday, and we have been told that they have been busy with other things. They mentioned the San Bruno incident. However, they've said we should not wait to implement. We have not, pending their approval. We move forward. We actually take the action. And they said whenever, when they actually have the time and they're not investigating the accidents, they will look at closing out and reviewing the packets we send. We send them a pretty thick packet to review for everyone to actually.
I was on a panel a couple of weeks ago with one of the members of the NTSB talking about before and after, and at least that individual member says we are the best example of what is being done in the safety world. So
that's good to hear. Continuing on some of the accomplishments, we have worked very diligently to actually strengthen and better our relationships with not only the TOC, but the FTA and the NTSB, and we've been pleased just with even the NTSB's participation. We've requested, and we'll mention later in the Champions of Safety event, the vice chairman spoke actually to a National Safety Council event 2 weeks ago at our request, so I think that we've been rebuilding that. Over 8,400 people, employees and contractors, have been trained on the Roadway Worker Protection Program. And we've also completed 11 of the internal safety audits this year. So there's a lot of activity as we continue to move forward. We are actually in the, as you know, the rebuilding process, but staying focused at the same time. You know, through that focus, we've worked on rebuilding our safety culture, investing strategically, which also is improving our safety, as chatted about in the previous meeting a little bit, and restoring confidence from not only the employees but the public. With that, as many of you are aware, the board passed or made major revisions to the safety policy statement that you just reaffirmed today back in 2010. And the board has been clear and unwavering in their leadership and direction as we move forward to improve the safety here at WMATA, including we have our quote from Mr. Downey that he's pleased that the board members have taken the lead in a public forum and support to strengthen safety. Moving on, some additional activities throughout the year to establish a more proactive and strong safety culture. Now we have two safety officers that are on call. We also have added a safety officer to an afternoon shift so that we have a physical shift with safety personnel at. All the weekend major shutdowns, we have safety staff from start of the shutdown to end of the shutdown, so they're not on call. We do have at least a safety officer, if not two, that is actually in the field to provide any assistance to the staff that's working on these major shutdowns, and we've been seeing tremendous, I believe, improvements. And just going forward, you can see, you know, from some of the training that has went on, WMATA now has the most number of employees that have achieved the US DOT Transportation Safety Institute Transit Safety and Security Program Certificate. We've also been revising our System Safety Program Plan, our incident and accident procedures, our hazard management procedures, as well as the roadway worker protection. So we're not stopping, and we're revisiting these things. We're not letting, you know, it's not that it's done. We actually will be revisiting the System Safety Program Plan again. In fact, we may be coming back to you in September, October, after everything is done with the governance for the vision mission, so that that will be included in our next safety, or actually the board's next safety policy statement. Also, we've been working diligently on the safety measurement system so that we actually have the data, build these historical data, and then trend with that data. So that was something, as you may recall, we were a little weak on previously. Our hazard management follows the military standard known as 882. We've implemented, and certainly on the bus side, the drive cam, which is very beneficial for us to actually view drivers' behavior, not only the bad behavior, but the good behavior, because we do have a lot of operators that are actually exhibiting good behavior and avoids an accident, which we also utilize in building our safety programs. Rolled out the safety communications plan for customers and employees, and the safety quizzes that you may have heard, and that's been working with the media relations group and customer service, and seems to have been really well received by the employees thus far. Still continuing working on advancing the close call program and working with the labor unions, and then we will be coming back to you in July to update you on the fatigue risk management system that we're working on, actually as we work to build our fatigue risk management system and recommended hours of service. As you're very aware, we've been investing strategically, working on many capital projects to improve safety while at the same time addressing NTSB recommendations. Continuing, just over $1 billion has been invested in capital improvements since July 2010. This is accomplishing such things as purchasing the new 1,000 series rail cars that I believe we're all excited. 7,000 series, I'm sorry, to replace the 1,000s. Apologize. Thank you, sir. As well as looking at the track circuits. And then we actually, through Mr. Kubitschek's group, presented a demonstration of the NTSB back in November with the track monitoring tool, but that's one of the items that we just sent the packet over for them to review to consider closure of that recommendation.
I'm sorry, before you come off that, in July you'll be ready to report back to us on fatigue. One of the other things we want to track and hear about is the train control monitoring. Do you have a time frame when we might put that on the agenda? And if not, just let me know. Okay, yeah. At that point, the study will be done. We'll have some sense of where it's going. I don't want a half-baked or premature thing, but once we kind of know what the issues are, I think the committee ought to get fully briefed on it.
Yep. Yeah. That would also help us out because of the system safety analysis is supposed to be completed this summer, and we're bringing on some other reviews and such. Great. So November is targeted.
Super. Yes.
Question on the drive cam cameras on the buses. What kind of reliability are we seeing there, and how many are down at any one time? Because that's a big item. That's a big expense item to maintain cameras, you know.
We have a contract with drive cam to maintain the system, and to my knowledge, we're 100% operational on a daily basis.
Drive 100%? Cam, 100%. Wow.
Yeah.
100%?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
I'll double check and get back to you, but we're very, very pleased with the product.
I assume they have backup cameras in case one fails and they need
to pop one. Yeah, if a camera fails, then we have one to put in place. So it's a quick change around. But buses are not going out without.
But our contract is 100% availability is the performance spec in the contract.
We're very pleased with the durability and performance of the cameras.
Excellent. Thank you.
Continuing on restoring confidence, you know, it's just like, as we'd say, a three-legged stool. Our third leg's restoring the confidence is just as vital as implementing the positive and proactive safety culture and the perception and awareness. And certainly one of the things that I've learned in my tenure here, that perception is pretty close to reality. So we do certainly look at that. And then over the last year, we've implemented many changes, including the second annual Champions of Safety recognition program, and we were very pleased that the NTSB chair, Deborah Hirschman, actually presented a keynote address, and that certainly, I believe, you know, I took it as an honoring event for her to actually come and do that for us. We will be following up on the employee survey that was done. That will be handled, the last time was just an employee safety survey. That will be a component of a total employee survey that will be handled by the risk human resources group. That will be done actually this year.
And that was the third item, a third of my six items that we want to follow up on. Do we have a time frame for when we could get results of that?
I think it's the end of the calendar year. Is that right? Gary, just when will you have the results of the customer? When will you have the results of the customer survey, the employee survey?
Probably in the fall of 2012.
Okay, we'll work with Jim to get it on one of our agendas, if you would.
Yep.
You know, as we note, you've heard, I know the general manager has said many times, we've made significant positive stride. However, our work is nowhere near complete. Just would like to state, though, that we have built what we believe is a solid foundation in which we're building upon now. The foundation is certainly vital. As in building a house, you have to have a strong foundation for the development of a proactive safety culture among each employee at Metro, as well as restoring the public trust in regards to the overall safety of the system. So there's been a lot going on, and now I will talk a little bit about our year-end performance.
Just before we get off that, and I touched on three items here. A fourth that we had, which is really more with respect to security, but we want to get scheduled a discussion of the capital investments, federally funded capital investments. If you can give us a time frame for that. And there are two other issues that I think can largely be done with memos, but that we are concerned about. One is the bus shield program and how that works out as they're implemented. And the other is a little more detail on the worker incidents looked at from an individual facility standpoint, which are the facilities that have a larger and a lesser amounts of worker injuries.
And sometimes really with that it's departments.
Yeah, spread across yeah. So is that, I think you can do that through written reports, but we are concerned about it.
The bus shelter will only probably get towards the end of the year.
Right. Okay.
And actually, with the SMS, we're actually able to get certainly much better data in a much more timely fashion.
Well, I'm sure that we're using it, which I'm sure
we are. And, you know, we're looking into a program similar to what the Transit Police do in Metrostat, that we would have SafeStat, and we want to get the data so that it's out and available as close to real time as possible for our employees so that we're actually able to take the steps to improve upon.
KPIs?
Yeah, this provides the total year key performance indicator for the employee injury rate. And as you will note, the rate has done a downward trend as we're going forward. Our goal, as we always say, is zero, and it is and remains at zero. But our target was 5.55. And as you can see from here, the employee injury rate, we came in at the end of the year at 5.19. In December, we had 38 employees injured for a rate of 3.56 per 200,000 hours worked. And this was also 6.5% under the 2011 target of 5.55.
Yes.
Even though it's a chart later on, it does relate to this particular chart, and that's on page 35. You actually go under the operations groups and the rates and those. I think Mr. Morty just kind of referred to that just a few minutes ago. I see there's still a lot of centers, four of them, which are over 5% or 5 in the injury rate. And what I'd like to see, you see it on some of these charts, but we don't see a history here. We don't see a trend analysis. So it'd be nice to see in future some sort of trend analysis by the operations group of whether they're going up or going down or staying the same. And certainly I would look at over a three-year period with the last year being dropped out every time you get a new year, but it's just not showing me the trend, and I'd be interested to know the trend of these, particularly when you got a one of the operations groups at almost 9.5, which is pretty high in my view. And I recall seeing numbers a year or so ago, which we had actually two in the nines at some point. So,
and we've been coming down, and this. We actually do discuss the trends more at our superintendent action report out meetings that we have, but we can provide that.
It'd be nice to monitor the trend and whether we're focusing on those work centers or operations groups more heavily when they do have high rates.
And one of the things is in the general manager's one-on-one with the operations ELT staff members, we do discuss these trends, where they're at, and actually look at where we can improve. And one of the things that we're doing with some of the groups, we've created what we call a body mechanics class that February was for, which actually teaches employees how their back's structured and how to properly lift and to watch where they're walking, kind of things that we're looking at our slips, trips, and falls, which are some of the most common causes of the injuries that we actually
experience. It'd be also interesting to know whether some of those work centers with the higher rates are the ones where there's doing a lot of overtime work and they may be fatigued. That I don't know.
And that's one of the things we'd be looking at, comparing in the fatigue, but we haven't directly seen that at a tertiary look.
I love acronyms just like anybody else. I have no idea what these acronyms mean on page that Tony was referencing on page 35. So I don't even know what they mean. Operations Group B, M, N, T.
Bus maintenance. I'm sorry. We will spell that out for you. Provide a legend. It took me a little while to learn them. Bus maintenance, bus transportation, car maintenance, elevators and escalators, plant department, rail transportation, service maintenance, track construction, systems maintenance. I'm sorry. Yeah, I have to learn another one. And we change them occasionally too.
Yeah, that's
true. Once you get to know them, we change them. So. And then track and structures, I believe. Do I have that right? With that, so that. But we will actually spell that out so you have the groups and not the acronyms.
Thank you.
One of the things I did want to point out also, for although they're not employees, our contractors, we had zero contractor construction contractor, lost time injuries in 2011. So, contractor, that's...
We take our responsibility for everybody who's on the property.
Absolutely.
They get the insurance savings, but we get the moral credit.
And we do. But certainly something we felt that's worth noting. Yeah, the customer injury rate, our target was 1.99, and we came in for the year-to-date rate at a 1.87 injuries per million passenger trips. Looking back at 2011's customer injury rate, we had 64 customer injuries in December for a rate of 2.37 injuries per million passenger trips. Overall, we ended the year with a total rate of 1.87 customer injuries per million trips. That was 10.5% lower than our 2010 year-end rate of 2.09. It was also 6% lower than the 1.99 target. And we will also continue to work on reducing that rate. Next, we have an update on the calendar year 2012 year-to-date, or January and February, basically, is we don't have the March data in yet. In February, we had 39 employee injuries for a rate of 4.56 per 200,000 hours worked. That equals 19 fewer injuries than the prior month. That also demonstrates a 37% decrease in the injury rate from January to February. Again, as I've mentioned, slips, trips, and falls are the number one cause for injuries in January and February, followed by injuries from motor vehicle accidents and overexertion. We have been doing things. I've already mentioned the BAC program. Actually, the local safety committees are putting together safety newsletters for their staffs and for the team that is actually in that region. The safety department performed a roadway worker protection, what we call a safety blitz, in March. And, you know, it's just to actually see, you know, that the safety mechanisms are in place to protect the employees. And that also came back with favorable results. Our Northern Bus Division hosted a health and safety awareness fair on March 8, 2012, in the Brentwood Yard, a similar event on March 22, 2012. So we're actually now working to actually provide the information down to the local safety committees, as Mr. Giancola asked, so that they can see where their trending is for their specific group forward, and then typically on a quarterly basis, as I've mentioned, at the superintendent action report out, where the superintendents are there, as well as Dave and Jack, and they actually present what they're working on to reduce the accidents within their facilities. Moving on to the customer injury rate, and this includes all customer injuries on bus, metro access, and rail. For the month of February, we had 34 customer injuries for a rate of 1.24 injuries per million trips. January's numbers were 44 customer injuries for a rate of 1.61 injuries per million trips, and that's a 23% rate decrease from January to February. And one thing to note is we carried 250,000 more passengers in February compared to January, and even with a higher number of passengers using our system, our customer injury rate went down. So, and then with our February rate of 1.24, this is the lowest rate in 26 months. And we're looking for ways to continue to eliminate hazards to potentially reduce injuries. So, but just in 1.24, lowest rate in 26 months, certainly something we're proud of. Moving on to our corrective action plans. From 2000, we only have 13 remaining open corrective actions from the 2004 to 2010 period. One of the things that we've been doing the last couple of years, closing out a lot of the old corrective actions that were out there. So we're down to 13 out of 256. And as you note, we have added some corrective action plans in 2011, and many of those are from our own internal safety audits. But as you can see, I believe for those that have been around, the red lines were a little bit longer in these categories, and now we're certainly pleased that the red is only a small portion of that bar chart, and we're going to continue to strive to close those out. Moving to our hazard resolution matrix that we'd said previously, we had had 30 items in this red area. Right now, we're just down to two that fall into the unacceptable category, and those actually are from the Fort Totten accident, and one is to conduct a comprehensive safety analysis of the Metro Rail automatic train control system that we've already spoken of, and the second one is based on the findings of that analysis, you know, that we incorporate the design, operational, maintenance controls necessary to address the potential failures of the automatic train control system. So we have to close the one in order to complete the other. So basically they're both related, and as Mr. Kubitschek mentioned, we'll come back to you in November and provide you an update there, and we'll certainly look forward to getting those off of the books. And unless there's any questions or you want me to go into the appendix, that would conclude the annual safety report for calendar year 2011. Certainly pleased to take any questions you may have.
Any questions? Good. Already respect to the presentation or the appendix? If not, I'll go back to the slide that says our job is never complete.
Correct, sir.
But we're certainly, I think, making significant progress. I did circulate an article to the board members earlier this week about NTSB investigations and also their write-up of Fort Totten, which I thought was one of the more understandable documents, thanks to Don Phillips. I think that sets the stage for the discussion we should be having later this year about the implications. Anything else for the year? Yes, Marcus.
Yeah, we received a document, I think was developed by Barbara's office, on a media survey inventory for our external PR firm. And I thought it was interesting insights in there because it documented the fact that our effort in moving transformation around security, we know it's important that the leader transforms and leads that change in culture. And my recollection is that the report documents that. So I thought it was really good news that our PR inventory of media comments and whatnot are documenting the fact that it's there. It's not just we feel like it's there. We have documentation that it's happening. So congratulations for it.
There's nothing else? We can adjourn the meeting. Next month on the cycle will be the TOC report, which I understand will be Matt Bassett's final performance, but we hope he'll give us some additional good grades before he departs. And we'll also be anxious to know whom his replacement will be. And then the following month will be Chief Taborn again on security issues. Thank you. Call the meeting adjourned. If I had the gavel, I would strike it. There it is.